Welcome to episode 76 of the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Beth Below. I'm opening this episode by giving a shout out to our winter weary friends in the Midwestern and Eastern parts of the United States. Prior to moving to the Pacific Northwest 7.5 years ago, I lived in both Michigan and Wisconsin, so I survived some pretty harsh winters, and I definitely know what you all are going through. This time of year, just as we are turning the corner from one season to another, it's helpful to remember this proverb. No matter how long the winter, spring is sure to follow. In that spirit, and I know I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself since it's only late February, but I have to acknowledge that it seems like spring is in the air. I know some of you are listening to this, perhaps from the Midwest or the Eastern Seaboard, and you're looking out your window and seeing mountains of snow on the ground. Others, like me, are already seeing blossoms on the trees. And then there are those of you who are lucky enough to be enjoying full-on summer in your part of the world. But if you're among those who is wondering if the snow is ever going to melt, it's always good to remember. If you're feeling dark or cold, there's warmth and light just around the corner. It will be here before you know it. And if you happen to be enjoying summer right now, literally or metaphorically, savor every minute of it. Part 1, Initial Insight. Since we're going to be spending the bulk of our time together talking about connection with author Erica Dwan, I thought it would be interesting to spend a moment meditating on disconnection. There are lots of ways that people disconnect from each other, intentionally or not so intentionally. They use earbuds. If they're like my husband, they have these big, completely cover-the-ear headphones. They use earplugs, and even earmuffs and hats can serve as a type of barrier to being fully accessible to other people. And then, of course, there are sunglasses, which don't block out sound exactly, but they might discourage conversation. And last but not least, there are our phones, our beloved phones. And I admit I am as guilty of this as anyone else. We don't need any other sensory blocker to use a phone to keep others at a distance. So I think these are all great tools, and I certainly use them. And I think they're great when they're used wisely and intentionally. When we make it a habit to always be looking at our phones when we're out in public, waiting in line, or enjoying a coffee break, we miss an opportunity to just notice the people around us and to notice our environment and to be active participants in what's going on around us. Even if you don't have one of those, you know, blocking tools, you still don't have to talk to anyone. You can just still use your body language to say, I'm in my own introvert bubble right now. Please do not disturb. But notice if you're consistently cutting yourself off from potential interactions. And take an opportunity, you know, be aware of maybe some short, painless opportunities to just be present with no barrier between you and the world. It might be while you're waiting for carryout, or if you're walking from one appointment to another. I'm increasingly seeing people walking, whether it's in the mall or out on the street, and they're just staring at their phones and not really engaged with their environment. See what you see when you do this. It might just leave you refreshed and more open to making a meaningful connection when the opportunity comes along. Part 2, Shameless Self-Promotion. Earlier this month, I sent my final edits on my book manuscript back to the publisher. It was one of many milestones in this very long process, but it was a milestone nevertheless. I'm realizing through this process, more profoundly than I ever have before, how important it is to celebrate the small victories, especially when the project is over a long period of time. So this is one way I'm celebrating, by sharing with you the latest news about my book. The title is The Introvert Entrepreneur: Amplify Your Strengths and Create Success on Your Own Terms. It's coming out from Perigee Books in early November. The next step in the process is the layout, which is about as close to being set in stone as a book can get. We're also sharing the manuscript with influencers and seeking their endorsement. The whole process can be a bit scary at times, but it's also very exciting. And in particular, I was really thrilled a few weeks ago to see that the book was available for pre-order on Amazon.com. Think about it. If you order now, it'll feel like a surprise party in your mailbox or on your Kindle when it arrives 8 months from now on November 3rd. Just go to Amazon.com and search for my name, Beth Below, and you spell Below, B-U-E-L-O-W, or search for The Introvert Entrepreneur, and the book should pull up, and you can pre-order a copy for yourself and or for the other introverts in your life. Part 3, The Conversation. When Pamela Slim, author and entrepreneur extraordinaire, introduced me to Erica Dwan, I knew immediately I wanted to interview her. Erica and I talk about new ways to think about how we connect with others, especially, as many introverts might feel, it's not a skill that comes naturally. Erica is the co-author, along with Saj Nicole Joni, of the newly released book, Get Big Things Done, The Power of Connectional Intelligence. Adam Grant, Wharton professor and New York Times bestselling author of Give and Take, has said about the book, "Get Big Things Done is a passionate look at a new wave of leaders. It's full of inspiring stories about imaginative ways to forge meaningful connections and achieve audacious goals." Erica Dwan is a globally recognized leadership expert and keynote speaker, driving innovation across generations and cultures to prepare the global workplace for tomorrow. As one of today's most provocative business thinkers, she is CEO of Cotential and has spoken worldwide, including at the World Economic Forum at Davos. She writes for Forbes, Harvard Business Review, and Fast Company. She holds degrees from Harvard, MIT, and Wharton. Be sure to listen all the way to the end of the interview for a special free offer from Erica that will help you learn more about your own connectional intelligence. Hi, Erica. Welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast.
Thank you so much. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, what is making you smile today?
What is making me smile today? I love that question. You know, I would say it's my newest dance class discovery. It's a dance class called Intense Bhakti, which is a mixture of a dance workout with affirmation. Ooh. My newest happy obsession.
Nice. What's an example of one of the affirmations that you might dance to?
One of the affirmations was, I'm rising in energy. So what I think is so powerful about that is, you know, we often think about affirmations, but when we actually move and embody our affirmations, it makes such a difference. I'm a dancer, so I believe that connecting with your body when you're actually saying things is such an important part of enacting and embodying what you want to create.
Wow, that gives me chills just to think about. That's really awesome. I've never heard of that, but what you're saying makes total sense because we can, I think especially introverts, you know, we can kind of intellectualize and kind of stay in our heads, and to be able to take something like that and move it down into our bodies sounds like just a wonderful energetic opportunity.
Absolutely.
So speaking of introverts, I'm curious about where you yourself fall on the introvert-extrovert spectrum and how that's influenced, you know, you as a writer, you as an entrepreneur, and, you know, how you show up in the world.
Yeah, it's such a great and important question. You know, I thought for much of my life until about 5 years ago that the only version and way to be successful was to be an extrovert. And so I think I taught myself at a young age to be an extrovert in business. Mm-hmm. But about 5 years ago, I really, in the launch of, you know, when I started to write my new book and launched my business, what I actually realized is that I'm truly, at the deepest root, much more of an introvert. I guess I would describe myself right smack dab in the middle. The spectrum may be a little closer to introversion.
Sure.
In that I really source my energy from ideas, from resources, for being alone, and that has been my greatest source of idea generation to lead to the work that I do today.
Awesome. So that leads to, as you mentioned, the book that you've written, and what I find so intriguing is the title of it, well, actually not the title, but the concept behind it seems almost counter to what introverts might be attracted to, and that is connectional intelligence, which we'll talk about. But you and your colleague, and I'm going to make sure I say this right, Saj Nicole Joni?
Yeah.
both of you are introducing us to this new term of connectional intelligence that seems to expand on what we already know about the importance and role of general intelligence, which we usually think of as IQ, and emotional intelligence, which has gotten a lot more prominence and discussion in, it seems like, the last decade or so. And what I love about your term of connectional intelligence is you have the word connection, but you have the word intelligence. And we seem to be the most connected society that's probably ever lived. I feel pretty safe in saying that. But how much of that connection is really intelligent and meaningful? And I think introverts are especially in tune with that because we tend to appreciate and enjoy and seek out deeper, intelligent connection, ones that has a lot of meaning. And we prefer to have deeper connections with smaller circles of friends.
Yeah.
So I've been throwing that phrase about, but how do you define connectional intelligence? And how much of it is nature and how much is nurture? How much of it is a skill that we can cultivate and learn?
Such important and great question. You know, first off, just to touch on what you mentioned, you know, we've all known of IQ as traditional knowledge. And, you know, about 10 years ago, Daniel Goleman came out with this concept, emotional intelligence, which helped us begin to see how we are managing emotion. But as you mentioned, in today's world, we're for the first time ever in history, humans are ubiquitously connected. And that's not just through digital, social, and mobile technology, but it's actually shaping our human intelligence, shaping how we're more curious, how we're more courageous, how we combine ideas, how we build communities, and how we mobilize resources to get big things done in our communities, in our businesses, and in our lives. And through my research of global companies, of startups, of millennials, of baby boomers, of CEOs all across the map, what I've realized is that there's a rising third force beyond IQ and EQ, and it is what I call connectional intelligence that my co-author Saj Nicole and I published in our new book, Get Big Things Done. And what connectional intelligence is it's the human ability to combine people, ambition, and knowledge, forging the connections on a global scale that create unprecedented value and meaning. So in today's world, it's not news that we're connected. In many ways, many people feel overconnected.
Exactly.
But what I'm trying to bring back is, how do we actually drive value and meaning from our connections? And I think that connectional intelligence is just like other intelligences when it comes to nature and nurture. I think it can be developed. And in our book, we talk about sort of five skills that you can grow in order to develop your connectional intelligence. And there are certain environments that help enable connectional intelligence as well. At the same time, just like IQ, there are also thought IQ, you know, that could be a random place to the map. So I think it is a mix of both, but it absolutely is something that can be developed and nurtured.
So how can the cultivation of the connectional intelligence transform our relationship to all of those things that you mentioned that we can feel overwhelmed by, like email, social media, you know, kind of that hyper connection, and even in achieving our goals?
You know, I spent years studying this. I spent a lot of time studying the millennial generation and how they're using connectional intelligence and senior leaders as well. And there is this overarching belief that, I would say it's more of an assumption that you have to connect more in order to achieve your goals. And I really question that. I really say that we have to connect intelligently. And that doesn't mean more hours or more quantity. But what connectional intelligence is about is how to focus back on building quality relationships, which I think introverts do well to find fulfillment in today's overconnected world. And I think what sometimes social media and email can do is it can help us forget our dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think that getting more Twitter followers or making the video viral is what's important. When really what I think is most profound is to remember what your dreams are and how to find meaning in what you really care about. You know, one of the stories I tell in my book is the story of a woman named Jeannie Pieper who had a very rare disease called FOB, and there are only about a couple hundred people around the world that have this disease. And one of the things that she did using connectivity, using social media, was create the first ever Facebook group for patients with this rare disease around the world. And this was really the first time that patients are on a global scale were talking to each other about this disease. And what happened from that is they began to teach doctors some of their symptoms because doctors weren't able to easily detect some of these issues. And they also pulled together funding to do research at the University of Pennsylvania for their disease, which is something very rare to happen. especially for the most rare diseases on the planet. Mm-hmm. And so in today's connected world, we can use our connectional intelligence to focus on what we really care about rather than just the typical productivity and connectivity craze.
What I appreciate about that is it's another reminder, of course, of something we hear a lot that I don't know that we always take to heart, and that's the quality over quantity.
Yes.
It's really about the depth of it. And I'm even thinking recently Facebook introduced, a metric or some sort of, you know, new piece of insight where you can start comparing yourself and your rate of growth to other pages that are comparable to yours. And I thought, great, you know, not. It's like with all of the connectivity, what I've noticed is that it's become so much more numbers driven as opposed to heart driven. I mean, I love that you're reminding us that it's, you know, what we all started with was our dreams. And then because all of these layers of statistics and metrics and measurables have been put on top of it, we can really lose sight and just think about, okay, I'm not getting all the engagement that I want. What am I going to do? And it feels like that is really energy draining and really does disconnect us from, like, what was my heart purpose for making these connections?
Yeah, absolutely. And really, I think a big piece of connectional intelligence is really shifting the question from how do I get people to care about me to the question of what do I have? What do I know? What resources, people, or ideas do I have that can help others? And by doing that, we create value for everyone. And it's not about over-collaborating, because you could collaborate with a lot of people and get nothing done. But it's really about how you focus on the things that really can get big things done that you really care about.
Yeah.
And I think the meaning piece is incredibly important.
Yeah. Well, that's a great segue to my next question about tips that you might have for introverts in particular, who especially, I think, you know, might feel overconnected and kind of sapped, especially if they start getting swayed by all of the superficial side of this connection. What tips might you have for introverts who want to increase their connectional intelligence in a strategic way that actually builds up their energy rather than depleting it?
Such a great question, and something that I've really been on a learning journey of learning about as I think about my own sources of how I build energy and how to use connectional intelligence. You know, one of the best examples of this, I think, of who's done this as an introvert has done this really well, is actually two people, two YouTube stars, Bethany Mota and Zoe Stugg. Bethany Mota and Zoe Stugg are both very well-known YouTube stars talking about different topics on the internet. They're both in their 20s. And interestingly enough, they're both self-professed introverts. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about them is how they use technology to focus on their strengths and work around the challenge of being an introvert. And, you know, in the past, they may not have reached the level of success that they, you know, had to give a tutorial or in a lecture in front of a large group of actual people. And what they actually talk about is how the feeling of an intimate one-on-one connection that YouTube allows made them be able to leverage their social energies in a more smaller, intimate environment, but actually spread it in a much wider way to many more people. And I think that one of the strategic things to do is to think about how can technology, the way that we have it today, actually let us focus on our strengths, on our ideas, and connect to many more people, but not deplete us from being in a large crowd all the time. And the specific tip that I would urge introverts to think about really stem from the story of Bethany Mota and Zoe Stugg. The first is ask yourself how you best communicate. Is it through the intimacy of a video blog or even video emails? Are you better at writing? Do you want to host a small gathering? Or every once in a while, do you want to go to a big networking event? The second is to really be strategic about, as we mentioned before, the quality versus the quantity of your relationship. So, you know, if you are someone that's an entrepreneur that has to go to events, you know, how can you scout out who's going to be there ahead of time? So you know who you want to reach. Or how might you connect with other attendees on social media beforehand to figure out, you know, how to build more deep relationships before you even get somewhere that would allow you to sort of strengthen what you really care about and want to do. And I think the third key tip here is really about how might you be able to participate in big communities in small ways. One of the examples of this that I also talk about in my book is a community called Innocentive, and it's a community of inventors and solvers. And a lot of companies ask this network to actually help solve big company challenges. And interestingly enough, a lot of the success stories of inventors finding a solution come from introverts who don't want to work at a big corporate and sit in the office, but are able to through the internet to help solve really major problems for corporations. So I would say both, you know, thinking about how you want to communicate, how you build the quality of relationships you want, and how you can leverage what you know in little bits through technology at all lengths to help you get big things done in a strategic way.
Thank you for that, because it's reinforcing that we can find our own path. I think another symptom of all of that connectivity that can cloud things is that we feel like we have to be louder, faster, bigger in order to cut through that noise. But what I'm hearing is that, you know, I love the way you put it, participate in big communities in small ways. It seems like there's a great opportunity for introverts to do that, and that certainly technology is one way to do it, but also even participating in your community. So many towns have like city planning events and other things that are actually give you an opportunity to connect with people one-on-one in small groups to make a pretty big impact.
Right.
So there's both the online and the offline ways of doing the big community, small contribution or small way of participating.
Absolutely.
So anything else that you would like introverts to know about connectional intelligence or getting big things done that you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that a big mission that both my co-author, Sasha Nicole, and I have is that the idea is of connectional intelligence is just as important for introverts as it is for extroverts. And it is not about networking in just typical connections. Mm-hmm. It really is about combining all of our ideas and resources to create the connections, whether it's through art or through science or through music, to really drive better problem solving and get the big things done we all want to achieve in today's world. And one of the things I talk about in my book is that there are three types of connectional intelligence. The first type is if you're a thinker. Thinker is someone really that has deep curiosity and is able to combine lots of ideas together. And I think a lot of introverts fit that bucket of being a big thinker. The second is an enabler. An enabler is someone who can really build communities and find the right communities to come together. And then if you're an enabler, you might do that as an introvert publicly or even using technology to build a community. And the third is what I call a connection executor. A connection executor is someone who, you know, puts all the pieces together to get the big thing done in action. And so as you think about, for those listening, as you think about how you're using connectional intelligence, I would really urge you to think about where you fit. Are you a thinker? Are you an enabler? Are you a connection executor? And the point is not to have all three. The point is actually to understand your strengths and then figure out who you need to partner with and build relationships with to help you achieve your goals. Because if you're a thinker, maybe you need to partner with an enabler and a connection executor rather than trying to do it all yourself. And I think that's a really important part of how we thought about the book and how we think about our mission to really spread this conversation in the world.
I love that we're able to identify where that strength might be and not necessarily feel like we have to cover all the bases.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. We don't have to be good at all of it, which is excellent. And it seems like, you know, knowing your own type and then being able to have conversations with others about, you know, it seems like if the more you know about this, the better questions you're going to ask when you are talking to potential partners or collaborators or colleagues. You're going to make better matches for yourself and for them if you know these points.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. I'm feeling like I want to be able to flex my connectional intelligence muscles for sure. And I hope the listeners and, you know, everyone listening feels some encouragement. You know, I love that you are really empowering introverts to step into this part of themselves that has some ability to connect with others in a really meaningful way, and that it's not about the quantity. It is really about the quality. It's a great reminder.
Yeah, and it really is about tapping your curiosity, how you're asking questions to different people. It's about how you might spark new ideas with different communities. Or even, you know, one of the big skills in connectional intelligence is about courage, you know. So for introverts, it's also about being courageous to think about what are the diverse and difficult conversations that you need to amplify, even though they're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, to ask the question, in the book, one of the questions we ask is, does it matter? And if it does matter, where might you need to be courageous in a different way?
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like the more we know about ourselves, the more courageous we can be. And you've given us a wonderful tool for that. So deep gratitude for that. Thank you. I want to wrap up our conversation, even though I feel like we could probably just keep talking about this, but to bring things to a close, I want to ask you a question that I ask of all my guests. And that is, if you were granted a 3-week vacation on Introvert Island, which I don't know about you, but that sounds really good to me right now, and you could only take 3 books with you, what would you take with you and why?
I love this question because one day I need to take this 3-week vacation and make this happen. So the first book I would take is Americana by Chimamanda Ngozi. She's an amazing, amazing author of fiction. Mm-hmm. And I think it is because fiction reading for me is such an important place for me to open my mind. I think the second book would be Choose Yourself by James L. Pusher. It's an amazing book around self-awareness and growth. And I think after sort of the imagination, I might want to do sort of more of the self-discovery book, mm-hmm. which I love as well. And then I think I can't say Get Big Things Done because it's my book. Third, I would say, would be Seth Godin's new book, What to Do When It's Your Turn. Because I think after sort of reimagining fiction and sort of the self-awareness piece, I think it's sort of, how do I build that and turn it into action? And so it's probably be those 3.
Awesome. I didn't know that Seth Godin had a new book out, so that's awesome to know too.
Okay.
Very fun.
Absolutely.
Well, what is the best way for people to connect with you and learn more about you and Get Big Things Done and what you have to offer?
The best way is, number one, to buy the book, Get Big Things Done, on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And what I want to offer special listeners out there, especially introverts, is a special gift of a free connectional intelligence quiz to assess your connectional intelligence, and also a manager guide to help managers think about how to use connectional intelligence on a project or with a team. And the way to get it is if you text the number 66866 and type in Erica, E-R-I-C-A, which mm-hmm. is my name, you'll get the information and you'll get it delivered to your inbox.
Awesome.
And you can find and learn more about me at ericadevon.com. And I look forward to continuing the conversation with introverts out there on how we can all use connectional intelligence as a force for good.
Great. Yeah, it feels like the conversation is just getting started. So there's a lot of ground to cover. And thank you for being our guide in that. And thank you for the free connectional intelligence quiz. I think I'm going to be texting myself to take that. So thank you for that offer. And thank you for the generosity of your time and your insight in chatting with me and sharing your wisdom with our listeners. So thank you.
Thank you so much. And it's wonderful to be part of your community, Beth.
Thanks, Erica.
Part 4, Reflection and Resources. What I appreciate most about Erica and Saj Nicole's book is that they share so many personal stories about how successful people have used connectional intelligence to accomplish great things. It's also worth noting that while we've all had and used connectional intelligence long before it was called that, now that we can name it, we can be more intentional about developing it. It's a skill that's probably already in your toolkit, so it's just a matter of sharpening the saw and putting it to work for you and your goals. And please remember to take advantage of Erica's offer. Send a text to 66866 with the word Erica, and that's her name and it's spelled E-R-I-C-A, to get the information delivered straight to your email. Thank you so much for sharing this time with me. And if you enjoyed this podcast, I invite you to share it with your friends, family, and colleagues. And consider leaving a review on iTunes. That helps other people to know that it's a quality show and that it might be something that they're interested in. And of course, you'll find more information about introverts, entrepreneurship, and the services I have to offer at theintrovertentrepreneur.com. This is Beth Below of The Introvert Entrepreneur, and until we meet again, remember that success is an inside job.